Welcome to this deep dive.
Great to be here.
In this lesson, we're exploring digital planning, scheduling, and workflow systems.
Exactly, which is something we all deal with.
If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
It is so crucial.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I want you to think about the last time you stared at a blinking cursor at, like, 2 in the morning.
Oh, we have all been there.
Right. You're entirely fueled by panic, maybe some stale coffee, and just this overwhelming sense of dread. And you're probably sitting there thinking, you know, if I just had more willpower, or if I just tried harder, I wouldn't be in this massive mess.
Yeah, that guilt is so common.
It really is. Well, we are here to tell you right out of the gate, your willpower is entirely fine. It is your system that is broken.
Exactly. I mean, we tend to moralize our productivity, right? We treat a missed deadline as this massive character flaw. But most of the time, it's really just a mechanical failure in how you manage your life.
Yeah, we take it so personally. Our real mission today is to look at the invisible digital architecture of our daily routines. Like, we want to understand the actual machinery running in the background of your life.
And that background architecture, it dictates almost everything about your stress levels and your ultimate success. When we look at why we fail to manage our daily responsibilities, I mean, the biggest danger is relying on what we call weak planning systems.
Weak planning systems, like basically just hoping you remember things.
Precisely. Relying entirely on your human memory to keep track of a dozen different assignments, meetings, and personal obligations is, well, it's basically a recipe for disaster.
Hmm.
The human brain is incredible at generating ideas, but it's actually a terrible hard drive for storing schedules.
Oh, absolutely. A terrible hard drive. And the guilt you feel when you drop a ball is so real. But like you said, it's totally misplaced. You sit there feeling like a personal failure because you forgot an assignment or double booked a meeting with a professor or a client.
Yeah. But here is the critical shift in perspective we need to establish right off the bat. Missing that deadline is not a personal failure. It is a systems failure.
A systems failure. I like that. It takes the blame off you.
It really does. If you do not have a reliable, trusted place outside of your own head to capture and track your commitments, of course you are going to drop the ball. I mean, you're human. It leads directly to incredibly inefficient workflows and incredibly poor time management.
So if we want to stop dropping the ball, we have to fix the system itself. I always like to think of a workflow system like the invisible plumbing of a house.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it.
Right. You really only notice your plumbing when it leaks. When things go wrong, you are suddenly ankle deep in water. Or, you know, in this case, ankle deep in late assignments, unread emails, and awkward apologies to your team.
And no one wants to be ankle deep in apologies.
Exactly. But when the plumbing works perfectly, you don't even think about it. You just turn the tap and water comes out.
I love that analogy. But let's take it even further to really understand the mechanics here. Google Calendar, or whatever digital calendar you use, is like the physical pipes of the house.
So pipes, okay.
Right. It dictates where your time flows and when it flows. But a workflow tool, something like Notion or ClickUp, that's the water filtration system. It takes this massive, muddy, overwhelming river of a, let's say, a final project, and it filters it down into clean, drinkable drops.
Individual, bite-sized tasks you can actually consume without choking.
Exactly. Clean drops of water.
That makes total sense. But I have to be honest here and push back a little. I hear phrases like workflow systems and externalizing the burden. And my immediate fear is that building out a complex Notion dashboard just becomes this brand new, highly advanced form of procrastination.
Oh, the productive procrastination trap.
Yes. Because I have absolutely been that person who spends 3 hours meticulously color coding a calendar, picking out the perfect little emoji for every single page in my workspace. And at the end of the day, I haven't actually written a single word of my paper. Do we really need to be this rigid? Managing a complex corporate style system just to get homework done feels a bit exhausting.
That is such a common trap. And what's fascinating here is the psychology behind why we do that.
Why do we do it? Because it feels good.
Well, yes, it feels like work. We often equate structure with restriction, or we use the creation of structure as a sneaky way to avoid the actual difficult work. But a well-designed functional system doesn't trap you, and it really shouldn't take hours to maintain on a daily basis.
So it shouldn't feel like a part-time job.
Exactly. It liberates you.
Mm-hmm.
Strong planning actually creates freedom. When you use structured schedules and manage tasks systematically, your brain doesn't have to waste its baseline energy constantly trying to remember what you're supposed to be doing. You externalize the anxiety to the system.
Right. The system holds the anxiety for you so your brain doesn't have to.
Beautifully put, yes. Which means your mind is finally free to do the actual creative work, or to focus deeply, or honestly, just to genuinely relax when you are off the clock.
Which is huge.
Have you ever tried to watch a movie on a Friday night, but you have this nagging feeling in the back of your head that you are forgetting to do something important?
Oh my gosh, all the time. It completely ruins the downtime. You're just sitting there anxious.
Right. That is your brain trying to act as a weak planning system. When you trust your external system, that nagging feeling completely disappears. And that consistency improves your long-term productivity far more than those occasional bursts of frantic last-minute energy ever could.
Okay, I hear you. And the promise of watching a movie without guilt is incredibly appealing to me.
Yeah.
So if Google Calendar is our pipes and Notion or ClickUp is our filtration system, how do we actually put these wrenches to work? Because combining these tools seems to be where the real magic happens.
It absolutely is. It is about understanding the specific mechanism of each software. A digital calendar is entirely about the when.
The when. Got it.
When are my classes? Yeah. When is my designated block of time for deep study? When am I meeting my study group? It is the literal geographical mapping of your hours.
But a calendar is terrible at telling you how to do a project, right?
Yeah.
Or what specifically needs to be done during that 1 hour block you just scheduled. Because a block on my calendar that just says work on final project usually means I'm going to stare at a blank document for 45 minutes, write a single sentence, and then check my phone.
Exactly. Because work on final project is way too vague. And this is fascinating. Your brain's threat response, specifically the amygdala, actually sees a giant, undefined, massive task as a literal threat.
Wait, really? A threat?
Yes. It triggers a mild fight, flight, or freeze response.
Yeah.
And in the modern world, sitting at a desk, freeze looks exactly like procrastination.
Wow. So I'm not just being lazy. My brain literally thinks the term paper is a predator in the bushes.
Essentially, yes. And that is exactly where tools like Notion or ClickUp come in to save the day. They handle the workflow management by breaking the predator down into harmless little pieces.
So you aren't fighting a bear, you're just like dealing with a bunch of harmless squirrels.
Exactly. You look at your calendar and it says it's time for project work. You open ClickUp and your project isn't one terrifying massive block of text. It's organized into a Kanban board. You know, those visual columns that say to do, in progress, and done.
Right. And in that to do column, the task isn't write paper. It's broken down systematically into things like draft first paragraph, or find three academic sources on digital literacy, or format the bibliography.
And by breaking it down visually like that, you completely reduce the cognitive friction. You use nested pages or toggles to physically hide the overwhelming information from your eyes. You only look at the one micro task you need to do right now.
That makes so much sense. You completely eliminate the confusion of where do I start. You just sit down, look at the next tiny step, and execute.
Exactly. And dragging that task card from in progress to done, well, it provides a little dopamine hit that propels you to the next one.
It totally transforms the experience of sitting down to work. It takes all the raw emotion out of it, which actually brings up an interesting pivot. It's funny, we're talking about this as a survival tactic for university students right now, but I'm looking at how my friends in the corporate world operate, and they are using these exact same tools. It feels like we aren't just doing homework here. We're essentially training for the modern office.
You hit the nail on the head. We are building infrastructure for your entire career. Let's look at a real-world scenario. A student who improves their consistency and dramatically reduces their stress simply by implementing weekly planning sessions and these digital scheduling systems is actually gaining a massive professional advantage.
Here's where it gets really interesting, in my opinion. Think about what work actually looks like right now. I mean, it's not the 1990s anymore. You aren't going to be sitting in a fluorescent-lit cubicle where a manager just taps you on the shoulder at 9 in the morning to hand you a physical stack of papers and tell you exactly what to do next.
No, those days are largely gone. Let's project this student case study into the near future. Imagine you are a young professional in 2 or 3 years. You are at a tech startup or perhaps a global marketing agency.
Right.
The future of work is undeniably digital, frequently remote, and heavily asynchronous.
Asynchronous meaning like you are working with people who aren't even awake at the same time as you.
Right. You wake up in Chicago. Your graphic designer in Berlin just finished the visual assets. Your project manager in Sydney left comments on the timeline while you were sleeping.
That sounds chaotic if you aren't prepared.
Oh, it is. If you don't have a system, you just drown in a sea of unread Slack messages and email threads. You won't know what to do. You essentially have to function as your own project manager.
You have to know how to navigate a digital workspace where a team member finishing a task in Germany triggers an automation that assigns the next phase of the project directly to you in Chicago.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, knowing how to navigate ClickUp or Work, Notion isn't just about passing a college class today. It is a fundamental literacy for the modern workforce.
Like reading or writing.
Precisely. That student who is learning how to structure a project block for their coursework right now is practicing the exact same underlying skill as leading a remote team's workflow tomorrow. You are learning how to make invisible work visible, manageable, and trackable across time zones.
The digital workspace really is the new office building. If you can't navigate it, you literally can't find your desk.
It truly is, and that makes you an incredibly valuable asset in any future workplace scenario.
That makes total sense. And honestly, it makes learning these tools feel a lot more urgent. But it also brings up a pretty significant concern for me. With all this digital connectivity, constant scheduling, and workflows living in the cloud, how do we avoid just completely burning out?
That is the big question, isn't it?
I mean, how do we engage with robust, powerful systems like Notion and Google Calendar without letting them turn us into absolute robots, just dictated by push notifications, alerts, and constant demands for our attention?
That is probably the most crucial question we can ask about technology today. It's a question of intentionality and responsible technology use. It's exactly why the foundational concepts we are discussing point us toward the philosophy of digital minimalism.
Right, because if you aren't careful, you can end up spending all your time just managing your tasks instead of actually doing them.
Exactly.
Or worse, letting the tools demand your attention 24/7, making you feel like you always need to be on.
Yes, and digital minimalism is about fierce intentionality. A strong planning system must serve the human, not the other way around. The goal of learning how to use ClickUp isn't so you can cram 20 more tasks into a 24-hour period until you literally break.
Which is what a lot of hustle culture promotes, unfortunately.
It is. But the responsible use of these tools means using them to deliberately set boundaries around your time and your attention.
So we are essentially using the system to protect ourselves from the system.
Yes, I love that phrasing. You use your digital calendar to aggressively block out noise. Think of it as building a fortress around your focus. You schedule a 2-hour study block. Because you trust your system completely, you can confidently close your email tab, silence your phone, turn off all those annoying desktop notifications, and dive into deep, focused work.
Because you aren't worried you're missing something.
Exactly. You know that everything else you have to do is safely captured in your workflow manager, patiently waiting for you later.
You are using technology to protect your human capacity for deep thought, rather than letting technology constantly fragment your attention into a million little pieces.
Exactly. It is about prioritizing focus over frantic productivity. You aren't trying to do everything. You're trying to do the right things at the right time with your full attention.
I love that paradigm shift. It's not about being hyperproductive every single second of the day. It's about being intentional so you can actually log off, close the laptop, and just be a human being. So with this minimalist, intentional mindset established, let's get incredibly practical. How can you, the listener, actually start building this today?
Good question.
I mean, how do we keep this new system from falling apart by next Tuesday?
The most practical ground-level habit is developing a weekly productivity system. You need a routine to maintain the architecture.
Right, doing the basic maintenance, like changing the oil in your car.
Exactly. The framework usually involves four required components. First, setting up your calendars, getting that physical mapping of when established. Second, defining task blocks, putting those chunks of time on the schedule. Third, mapping out the study schedules, getting specific about what academic or project work happens in those blocks.
But it's the fourth one that I think actually makes or breaks the whole thing, scheduling review sessions.
I want to zero in entirely on that fourth component, the weekly review. If you take absolutely nothing else away from the mechanics of this deep dive, let it be the weekly review.
It's that important.
It is. A weekly review improves accountability, and it relies heavily on the psychology of habit formation.
Because, going back to my earlier confession, setting up a beautiful color-coded Notion dashboard is super fun for an hour, but it is completely useless if you never look at it again.
Precisely. A system is only as strong as your habit of interacting with it. The weekly review is the cure for the Sunday scaries. It is that time where you sit down, maybe every Sunday evening for 30 minutes with a cup of tea or whatever makes it enjoyable. You just look at the landscape.
Okay, so what am I doing in those 30 minutes?
You check your calendar for the upcoming week. You look at your workflow and click up.
And you see what you actually accomplished, which is a really great feeling. And you, I guess, forgive yourself for the things that got delayed and just move them to a new day.
Exactly. You adjust. You map out the coming week, so there are absolutely no surprises. That 30-minute routine is the keystone habit that keeps the entire plumbing system from leaking. You are checking the pipes before they burst.
You are removing the fear of the unknown from your upcoming week.
You really are.
Let's do a quick knowledge check right here, and I want you, the listener, to really think about your own life right now as you hear this. Why is scheduling important for you specifically? Not an abstract theory, but in your actual day-to-day existence.
That's the perfect question to reflect on.
How would a workflow system, like a real trusted way to manage tasks, systematically improve your specific productivity? What specific friction or anxiety would it remove from your day tomorrow?
Those are the exact right questions to be asking, because the answers aren't going to be the same for everyone. Your digital architecture has to fit the reality of your unique life.
So we've covered a lot of ground today. We discussed the core concepts, the digital tools, the shift to future workplace dynamics, the need for minimalist boundaries, and of course, the absolute necessity of the weekly review.
So what does this all mean?
Yes, synthesize it for us.
If we pull all the threads together, it comes down to a clear cascade of benefits that transform your daily experience. Scheduling improves your organization by mapping your limited time. Workflows reduce your cognitive confusion by clarifying your exact tiny next steps. And consistent routines, like the weekly review, build the long-term productivity that allows you to succeed without burning out.
It's a total shift in how you operate.
It is. You are moving from a state of reactive, constant panic to a state of proactive, calm control.
Which brings us to a final reflection prompt for you to genuinely mull over. How can stronger planning systems improve my consistency and productivity? But I want to leave you with a completely new thought to consider as you build these systems.
What's that?
Well, we talked a lot about future-proofing yourself for the digital workplace, but consider where technology is heading right now. As artificial intelligence becomes deeply integrated into tools like Notion and Google Calendar, the question you face in the next few years won't just be, how do I organize my tasks?
That is a fascinating point, because the tools will organize the tasks for you.
Exactly. The question will become, how do I delegate my thinking? Your digital system won't just be a calendar or a static Kanban board. It is evolving to become your digital twin. It will anticipate your workflow.
Oh, wow.
Are your foundational systems, your basic digital literacy and habits, ready to interact with an AI that manages your life? Mm-hmm. If you don't understand the basic plumbing now, you definitely won't be able to steer the ship when it's fully automated.
That is a brilliant provocation. Building this architecture manually today is literally the only way you will understand how to manage the intelligent systems of tomorrow.
Exactly. So as we wrap up, we really want to encourage you to stay curious, stay highly responsible with how you let technology access your attention, and stay future ready. Keep experimenting. Tweak the systems until you find the exact digital architecture that clicks for your unique mind.
And to ensure these concepts translate from theory into actual tangible skills, please be sure to review your end-of-module study guide and complete the workbook activities provided in your curriculum. Applying this practically, like physically building the boards and the blocks, is where the real learning happens.
We also want to expressly acknowledge the foundational literature that informs the core concepts we discussed today. If you want to go even deeper on your own, the curriculum highly recommends reading Getting Things Done by David Allen, published in 2001, which really revolutionized task management.
Definitely.
We also referenced The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg from 2012, which explains the psychology of those routines, and Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport, published in 2019, which is just the ultimate guide for intentional technology use. They are phenomenal resources.
It's absolutely essential reading. Thank you for joining us on this exploration of digital planning and future workflows. It has been a pleasure guiding you through these ideas.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you do not have to rely on brute force, panic, and willpower alone to get through your week. Go fix the plumbing, turn the tap, and let the system do the heavy lifting for you. We'll catch you on the next one.